All right, good afternoon everybody. They're watching this video through Channel 9. My name is Mikko Kasana, I work as a technical evangelist for Microsoft. Today we are at our Epic Garage with Jani Tarvanen from this company called Easy Systems. You are probably familiar with their CMS products, and Jani is here to demo us and tell us what are the new widths and how to move on and so on. So Jani, the stage is yours.
Yeah, thanks Mikko. So technically I'm here to give you a brief demo of our open source platform, just a brief introduction to something that's no longer your father's PHP system, because many people still think maybe PHP is something which can't be used for serious things. Still, I would suggest that you will take a look at this warning, so don't believe a software vendor.
That's a good tip. So your product is nothing new. It's been up for 10 years, 15 years?
Yeah, it's the original version was actually released in 2000, and the previous generation product was only phased out last year. Right. That was introduced in 2003. That was your father's PHP. But the new product, which I am sort of also evangelizing and consulting and so on, it's was released in December 2015. So it's a very fresh product, but it's also been refactored in sort of a live manner. So the APIs are really solid, and I don't have any doubts about the stability of the core functionalities underneath.
Okay, so tell more about your company.
Yeah, so something about Easy. So we're originally a Norwegian company. The domain is still easy.no, which is the positive domain. We have around 80 people. Most of us are spread around in different locations in Europe. I have now started the Finnish office. There's not a lot of us here. But we have people up in Norway still, obviously. Then we have people in Germany, Cologne, Paris, Lisbon, and Lyon. And also outside of Europe, we have Tokyo office and a New York office. The company is set up in that way that management is technically in Oslo still. Product development, technical development, is done in Katowice, so in Poland, and then in France, Lyon. But that's technical development. For design, we're actually closer to where our customers are. So we have the New York office where we do concept planning and things like that. But it's still quite a small company, but quite spread around. And we have a long history. 80 people, but the history is long. We've been in the business of content management since the year 2000. I've been using Easy tools for many years myself before I joined Easy, but that is sort of the past. So pretty common LAMP platform, but nowadays maybe we'll see that it is actually quite a bit more as well.
All right, so previously Linux, PHP, MySQL, so basic LAMP stack, your product on top of that, you're good to go, right?
Yeah.
And now you have evolved into the next stage, right?
Yeah, so we're still based on PHP, and we're still doing content management. So we do that, web content management. So other competitor products, many open source products such as WordPress, Drupal, Yoma, tools like that are competing products, but it's a large market, so there's room for many things. So obviously we have a lot of expertise within our company, but the core business that we do, we have partners in different countries. We build, first of all, this open source platform called Easy Platform, which you can download and use as a content repository where you want to store structured content. So content being technically rich text or any collection of different kind of fields.
And the Easy Platform is, like you say on the slides, for developers and designers.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you have the Easy Studio.
Yeah. Oh, the Easy Studio is a subscription product, so you have a yearly subscription, and it adds UI features and workflows, this kind of management things. So, but underneath all is this layer, the technical layer, which is open source. And on top of that, we also have marketing automation, so this kind of email automation, personalization, content recommendations, and things like this. These have nothing to do with PHP, or I don't know how those tools are made, but I work on these two products mostly, the studio and the platform. And the platform, all the features that I'm going to show, they're platform features. So on top of that, we believe that our offering is so good that if you have marketing people, they will want to pay for the interface.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so then maybe a few concepts. These are very common concepts in web content management. So you have this kind of extensible content model. So you have a kind of class. So you define what kind of fields you have. If it's an article, you have some content, timestamp, things like that, and then you create instances of that, which is stored in our content repository. For multilingual things, we're traditionally very strong. So the concepts have actually stayed the same. Now even the product has been rebuilt. And here's another thing. So in Easy, one of the really basic concepts is you always have your content in a tree. So you can, of course, not use the tree, put everything flat. But the content tree allows us interesting things. So we have content objects, but we also have locations for those.
Okay.
So you have two different things which are very closely related. So every content object, which has, you know, your text and videos in it, needs to have one or more locations. So this allows you to create flexible product listings with categories.
Okay, so you don't basically get stuck to one item. You always can go forward from that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and these are the basic things that I work with a lot, that what is the best way to use this, our concepts and so on. Here for a few cases where we're using or use often, is more complex sites. So if you have a complex content architecture, we have subscription heavy media clients who have access to content and so on. Multilingual, as I told, it's very enterprise capable in that sense that we have a practical experience a lot. Also integration heavy web projects. So in many cases you have a custom framework kind of thing, but you still need content management. So you have, in many cases, you still kind of have to choose between a framework or a content management system, but we have kind of both because we have a content management system that's built on a framework. Mm-hmm. So it's quite good. Another thing is this kind of content reuse or content as a service type of thing, because obviously content or data in general is more and more being used in different locations. We have one example in KitchenAid, which has this machine which has recipes in it, which it then somehow makes. But if you buy one, I think it costs thousands or something, but that recipe content actually comes from Easy.
Okay.
To individual machines in your kitchen. So it's not quite the classical Internet of Things fridge example, but it's close.
Okay.
And then more custom e-commerce, so content and commerce often go together. We have a strong integrations to multiple systems. One is this kind of Silver Solutions, which is a partner, work very closely together. So we have a lot of capabilities. If maybe you wouldn't build a blog with it, it's not maybe the best. You can build it, but if you just want to get up and running, then it's, you know, it's, it might be too
much. It's in the same way that sort of when WordPress came out, it was a blog. Now people use that for e-commerce and for their commercial sites and so on. This is more for commercial sites and that part, but you can also use it as a blog if you will.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, this is a few things. So we're building still with PHP, but I told that it's not your father's PHP. We're using the Symfony framework. So it's a very stable framework that many tools now in PHP world. If you haven't used PHP lately, I think it's something that it was 5 years ago. It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
So we have packet managers and things like that. But we use Symfony framework, web framework, general purpose, very popular, over 1 million downloads a month, and active developer base is at least 300,000 developers. So we're kind of on the same. We're building on top of that, so we get a lot of things from there. And the advantage is that if you work with a Symfony custom application or another Symfony framework app platform, then you can pick this up quite fast. There's other tools such as OroCRM, Sylius, and Akeneo. So you can probably, if you want to find out more, you should search for symfony.com or something like that.
Okay.
I told that it's a modern framework, handles the basic things, the kind of boring things which PHP developers used to reinvent all the time.
Okay.
Because you had routing, caching, internationalization, and these kind of things. But they're necessary things, but it's just not necessary to do them all the time again and again.
So everybody thought they had the right recipe for that and kept redoing it all the time, and it's solved and sort of the core feature of the whole.
It has a lot of things, and one thing is it's really standardizes on HTTP. All you have to really think is that I'm getting a response, and then I'm getting a request, and then I'm sending out the response. What happens in between is quite logical, because you can respond with a JSON response, and then the framework will encode it and send the headers and things like that. And it's really good for caching and many other things, because we use standard HTTP things. We haven't invented, or Symfony hasn't invented that. So that makes that very flexible. And the thing why Symfony is such a good choice for that, because it's a very flexible platform. You can use a concept called bundles to actually extend the framework. And Easy Platform and Studio are both actually bundles, so they're extensions on top.
Okay.
And we add some things on top, which if you know Symfony, then you will probably understand more when I go to the kind of thing that we offer on top as again in the platform level. So. Content management is actually a pretty complex problem domain in itself. You have multilingual content, you have some fields that you don't want shown, you don't want to translate things, you have to manage layouts, all kind of things.
Yeah, this is like real content management. For some people, it seems like you just have to have a place where to write posts, and that's the content that management. So
yeah, but it's when, as I told, it's if you know Symfony, you can use it easily for a blog or anything. But when you think about a large number of teams working with content, you have workflows, sending approval.
This is a question that I get asked almost daily about, for example, well, okay, how do we do the localization and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
And always the answer is don't reinvent the whole thing. There is quite a few good things. So this is a good option for that then.
Yeah. So anyway, we've been working with content management for 15 years, so we have good things there. And obviously APIs, especially REST APIs, are the hottest thing ever right now. Before you only had RSS, but who uses RSS anymore? Everybody, but anyway. But we have exposed PHP APIs internally for developers, as well as a comprehensive REST API. So we have the admin interface is using the REST API, so it has to be first class, not some afterthought. I still love the dog fooding term, which originates more from Microsoft.
Yeah.
And we're dog fooding the REST API. So we're using it to build our product. It's not something that's there. So one of the key things, obviously, that we offer, Symfony is a framework. It doesn't offer any kind of model on how to store your data. We offer a model for you to store your data in, which you use the API to interact with. So you can use the API directly to create a new draft of a content in a certain language and so on. So this is the kind of thing that we abstract. We don't want people to think, how is it stored in the database or things like that. So there's flexibility, obviously, through additional things. So we build on PHP, but we use a Solr search engine, which is a Java process, which we send in data. And then it's really good at not only using for search, as in it's that if a word is in three times in the content, then it will get a higher score. Mm. That's kind of what maybe you think about search. But we actually store and synchronize everything. So if you normally use the Solr is not, you don't have to use it. It's optional. But if you have a million items in your content database, then the SQL queries will automatically, generated SQL queries will be slow, but Solr is very good, and we have implementations with millions of content items, and sorting things is very, very good. And for changing between the Solr search and the SQL, master data is always stored in SQL, but the Solr is read-only for performance reasons. But it doesn't require any code changes. They both use the same API. You need to modify the configuration, not the code. Move this, and then you have things like API signals. So when you delete content, move content, remove something, you can, you know, extend on that. It's you know, very good thing if you're using, you know, extending different things with it. The REST API we quickly went through already. So a public interface to interact with repository, first class citizen. We use it ourselves. And well, what REST APIs are a lot used is content syndication or mobile apps or something with Angular, React or other technologies. We are open to anything like that. Extensible is one thing. So if you have, say, a portal with information about buildings, you might want to enrich, you provide an API with information about the house, but if you want to enrich it with statistics data, you can actually use the Symfony framework internally to fetch, you know, statistics if you have a statistics system. So we're not jealous about where your data comes from.
Hmm.
Statistics data you shouldn't store as content repository because you don't need, you know, things. It's, I think content and data are two completely different things. Many see them as the same thing, but essentially data is large masses of things which are usually created by some process or something, whereas content is something humans create and manage.
With a thought, basically.
Yeah. And dynamic routing is one. If you have a web framework, it's usually you need to define some kind of address. So here underneath you can see the example for polls. So you have this kind of very static route.
Yeah.
We use a chain router from the Symfony CMF project, which is an addition to Symfony, and it allows you dynamic URLs. So it will first go through all kind of routes, but then eventually it will try to see if there's this kind of item in the database. If there's no such thing, then a 404 will be returned. This is, seems like a small thing, but if you start doing your own content management system,
it
ends up being difficult. Then moving forward, there's a big thing which is really good thing. So we have a concept called site access. So site access is essentially a collection of configurations. of some type. Usually it's language, theme, and so on. But this allows us to have the blob of content or multiple, because you can have multiple repositories, but let's just talk that we have one repository of content. Then you want to create different language versions or different sites completely. What you do is you configure a site access with which is the root node where the site starts from, what is the language in, which is the style that you want to, or theme that you want to use. And then you use the site access matching to match it somehow to the request that is done. So often it's DE, for example, in this case, so you use the domain, but you can also use the first element from the request, or you can actually use a combination.
Okay.
So this is something that makes, because essentially you're always multi-site ready, to add more sites, because you anyway you always have one language, you have to have one language, and you have to have one site. So, but if you want to add another site, you add configurations, you don't need to kind of, it's built in that you will be able to have multiple sites and multiple, if your site implementation doesn't have, you know, translation tags in the templates, then obviously it won't magically do that. But the groundwork you have to do, or you don't really need to do, is done for you.
Yeah.
Then you get the user interface for managing the content. Third time, REST API, hot word, everybody loves it. It's designed to be extensible, so as I discussed, that we can have multiple different data points from other data sources. You can actually present the data from other sources within the same admin.
Yeah.
With Symfony, it's often the Doctrine ORM, so you kind of have a pretty standard way which many people use. You don't have to put everything in the content repository, you just use that. And so it allows us to create very centralized experiences for content editors, because they don't need to care that, oh my god, this data is actually coming stored as entities and not as content objects, because technically they are different things, but people don't need to think about that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, then the user permission management, it's also quite powerful. You have roles and you have users and you have groups. One common scenario is a multilingual site implementation where you want to limit access to a certain language version.
Ah, so you could have, for example, if you have a international company, you have different teams handling different subsidiaries. So you would only give the correct local admins the access to their data, sort of their language, their localization, and so that nobody else can mess it up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And where it kind of, well, the provision system is probably, if you use something like Active Directory or something, you probably have like groups and subgroups of users and so on. Here you have the same, so it kind of looks like a traditional you know, file explorer view. What you can do is the roles cascade and the permissions cascade. So if you create a group and you create subgroups, and then, you know, you could have 20 groups nested inside, but the end user or the user in subgroups will always end up getting all the permissions cascaded. So obviously you can do everything very manually, but you should think on how can I make these cascade in a smart way. These are one of the things which I, for example, help people work with easy. So one thing I didn't say, that we have partners, we don't do implementation projects. I help partners do implementation projects, but that's their job.
Yeah.
But this is one thing where, for example, it's easy to get it wrong if you're working for the first time, for example, which is why I'll just go ahead and, you should probably, usually people use it like this. Usually then, in many cases, the users aren't actually in Easy. So you can use Active Directory, LDAP, or then the Force User Bundle, which is for Symfony. And then, obviously, to access the content repository. You need to define a user, but usually we mock a user so that, you know, everybody on the same team actually just gets inserted a user and so on. So you can, of course, sync them in, but in many cases that's not necessary.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, but looking at what we discussed, so it's a new CMS, a new PHP CMS. It's not an old CMS which has been brushed up. It's a new CMS with a long history. And obviously for this key thing, which, you know, in 2003 you had real, like, bare metal servers, but it seemed like they don't exist. Even virtual servers run on virtual servers,
yeah,
which run on virtual servers. But anyway, so we're pretty ready for distributing our different functions to other tools. So here's the high-level architecture that we have. There's some of the content stuff. You can see that the Symfony framework is there. It's kind of the thing that many things are built on. We have our, obviously underneath, we have our own APIs and the business logic on, you know, how things are done. But here is the interesting thing. So the persistence and I/O, they've been abstracted very well. So I'll just go quickly through the key things at which we allow to move forward. So PHP by nature scales very well. So you just add more machines and distribute the load between them. If you want shared sessions, then you'll set, for example, a Redis machine which stores the sessions. And PHP 7 obviously was a big win. It's I think a great achievement that the guys pulled it off.
Yeah, you're probably one of the loudest persons to speak up for the PHP 7 in Finland, at least who I have met. So
yeah.
it's really nice.
Yeah, but obviously it's a really, really good thing because it powers so much of the internet. It actually saves the planet probably more than the Green Party of Finland altogether. That's maybe not appropriate. But anyway,
we can cut that off.
Yeah. But anyway, so but in the future, Docker is our way of going forward. So we have the Docker package. It's being worked on. But for example, if you then want more power or automatically scaling things, well, just spin up more of those. The session will be handled somehow.
Yeah.
Then. For database, we use the Doctrine DBAL database for SQL abstraction. It's very common in any Symfony project. So we don't have any ORM. We don't use ORM, we use our own currently. It's also pluggable, so you could use something else completely than SQL. But anyway, currently MySQL and MariaDB are the supported ones because obviously we offer support. And we can offer support for something we haven't tested and so on. But we have, for example, Postgres or MSSQL are technically feasible. There's probably some glitches there, but Doctrine.
So is this sort of bound to any database that is basically a relational database?
It's relational database abstraction.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, good.
But on a higher level, the abstraction is not. There's a higher level abstraction that you could use another storage completely.
So but no SQL maybe or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But time is money. We had a working thing.
Yeah.
So currently if SQL dies, which happens I'm sure very soon, then we can look at something different. So there's always the link to the specific data which you can then look more on. For file storage, we use a PHP community created item called a Fly System. So it's an abstraction layer for file storage, for binary storage. You can create your own adapters for different cases, but there's plenty of those available for Amazon things, Dropbox, there's Azure Blob Storage. I think the finest one is probably the zip file, so you could store everything in one single zip file. Maybe not the fastest thing, but anyway. Again, here switching is a matter of configuration. Obviously, if you switch from Dropbox to Azure, you need to have some kind of migration in between, but it's still something that is not hard-coded. Everything goes through here. Same for search. So we have a solar solution. We also have a prototype Elasticsearch, but both of them, Elasticsearch is a competing product kind of to Solr. Solr is more robust and maybe more a community effort rather than a one company effort. So that's why we have that, but there's different options. So it communicates to our product using a RESTful API, and Solr is used in a lot of projects in many places. And it's also very scalable, probably to needs that I can't even imagine, because even one installation is very fast, but you can cluster it, and you can use it to power, you know, content things. So here's one example, at least if you want to run Solr, but don't want to have worries about how to set it up. There's this for Azure, you have some setup that you can.
So basically open project where you can get it. Okay, cool.
And then for caching, because we use caching heavily on many things, so we use again another abstraction. So we use something called Stash. It's a PHP, generic PHP thing, uses files regularly or normally, but you can use Memcached or Redis. For example, I guess you could use something else, but I think these three options are currently the ones that most people use. So again, you could scale your Redis yourself or put Redis somewhere who just handles it. And then there's Stash PHP is again the location. So it's not, we've done some work together with them to have, but there's always some bugs in software, but if you have a million people using the same, it'll get better over time. Then obviously about caching, a big caching thing obviously on web content management is HTTP caching. So again, we use abstraction called FOSS HTTP cache. We've also heavily invested and participated in it for our use. So because it's very easy to cache things, but purging is hard. So this actually does a lot of the purging stuff, the purging logic. You have things like user context. So if you have a group of users which can share the same cached item, then, well, you can share the same content for them, but for others it will be different. Then you can tag things in your custom code. You can tag it as navigation, and then when you purge something that is you tagged as navigation, then it will purge everything that's cache tagged with navigation, for example. So it just makes things easier to manage, and there's more things like that. And Varnish is a reverse proxy, which is the one we recommend. So it's a high performance thing. You have ESI, which is edge site include, so you can kind of do very smart, cool things there. There also, CDN is one thing that you could also use this for, but we don't have any specific CDN that we recommend. We recommend you to look at the Symfony community, what they provide. So we just provide, basically want to make sure that we purge things.
Yeah.
So that is obviously for web stuff, very, very important, or the key thing, but some people want real-time things. It's not always possible, as in, you know, sometimes it's just better to have a TTL of 60 seconds, but you know, especially this is something for media sites, where those kind of things, you have huge peak loads, but technically for there the web caching is something that I would look at. Yeah, so we talked a lot about things that are cool and so on, but it's always good to have something that we've actually worked on or our partners work on. So L is one thing, which is a very, I told that we have very different kind of use cases.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, I think it's reasonable, at least. But anyway, so this is very read heavy, so we have users coming in, they read the content, you can share it for all. This is kind of easy for to scale up because it's reading mostly. But then the Financial Times, they're quite a bit different. So we don't offer they don't offer everything for free because they're actually tackling the media problem or the problem media has that people don't want to pay for anything. But I think they're a good example of using paywalls and subscriptions to actually monetize content, which is another great buzzword. But anyway, so they have different needs. It's harder to scale because you need to generate things dynamically and check permissions and so on. But anyway, this is really, really a great case, obviously. Then Viking Line, which is a Finnish ferry company. So they have ships going back and forth the Baltic Sea. Here, this is kind of a different case, which is not normally maybe content management kind of thing, you would think. But here we have an app, and the ships actually have servers which do syncing when they're in the dock. And then you have an app that connects to the onboard Wi-Fi, so because Wi-Fi on ships for some reason is really bad.
Yeah.
But it uses the onboard Wi-Fi, then you have some content obviously available. You have the cruise program, you have things like the shop listing.
So everything necessary on the ship, you have it on your platform, lightweighted, it goes even through the bad Wi-Fi connections.
Yeah.
Available for everybody.
Yeah. And there's also other things which we don't power. I think they use something called OpenFire because they also have an onboard chat.
Oh, okay.
So kind of like WhatsApp, but it
for
works.
For ships.
Yeah, but because people use that, but
yeah,
then,
yeah.
You know. Some people call it the onboard Tinder.
Ah, okay, now I get it. So it's always comes to
yeah. And then a third case, I discussed different things. So is it's a Norwegian bookstore, the largest bookstore in Norway. Heavy e-commerce stuff, complex checkout processes, discounts, this kind of things. So these are kind of different things that we've worked on.
Yeah.
So then, maybe we're running out of time, so
you had some cool links for the end.
Yeah, because obviously my aim is to get you to use the product,
to get hooked up, and to get you on the platform and to be a developer on the ecosystem.
Yeah, right? Of course. That's how I deal. But anyway, you know, so you'll go ahead. There's some information basics, what you get, some PHP performance stuff, a lot of things.
Yeah, so where to start? If I'm a developer, I am probably already in the cloud world using Azure. What would be my first starting point? Would I go with Docker or would I go with some other option?
Docker is not ripe enough.
Okay.
So as I told it, these will be, so I would go to easyplatform.com and then see from there.
Okay.
So it's a site that has organized version of what I have gone through now, so that would be the place. And of course, if you need, you can contact me. I am available by email, but Twitter, so at Velmu, so V-E-L-M-U. I do a lot of stuff, and if you are interested, I'll respond.
So Jani, in a way, is an evangelist as well. So he's gonna help here locally any developer or any company wanting to build on top of this. And globally, you have your team as well to support it. If you're not watching this video from Finland and are still interested, so Jani will probably help you with that as well to find the right content.
Yeah, obviously.
Hey, thanks a lot. It was a pleasure. It was a great presentation. We'll probably have a more technical session filmed in for the Channel 9 later this year, or this spring actually. And we will show you how to set it up in Azure, right?
Yeah.
So if you're interested, just stay tuned and wait for that. And for this, I thank you all. Thank you, Yanni.
Yep.
And let's get to develop cool stuff.
Yeah, of course. And first, it's Friday.
So. Okay, yeah, it's Friday, so let's tick off.